Well, Lee, it's good to see you. We were just joking off camera there. We're here for a media day for Jordan Gill, and you've swanned in and made it all about yourself, haven't you?
That's what I said. I didn't want to gatecrash his media day, but cameras, yeah, let's have a word. Why not?
Before we talk about yourself and everything that's going on, your friend Jordan Gill, when you think back to that interview that we did in the ring with him on DAZN, I remember trying to call you over, but you wanted to let him have his moment. He said what he said, and the world reacted how it reacted, but how was that for you as a friend to hear him talk like that on the big stage?
Yeah, obviously I knew about it previous to that. But at the time when I was ringing him to invite him on camp, I was trying to get him in the gym, and I didn't realise they had all that going off at the time. It just by chance, I was trying to get him in the gym quite bad, and I just thought that would be the best for him to just get him on camp and build a relationship with the coaches, and then sooner or later they're going to say, you know what, come train. And if I knew what he was going for at the time, I'd have spoke to him personally and done a lot more for him personally. But sometimes people don't like sharing them things, feel embarrassed, or they don't want to burden other people. But I think he sent a clear message out to other people that are going through them things to share things. A problem shared is a problem half. And especially like suicides, male suicides and female suicides, the numbers are high and something needs to be done.
You two have obviously been friends for such a long time, and I know that you inspire Jordan when you look at bouncing back from defeat and what you've gone on to achieve. But in what ways, on the flip side, has he been able to inspire you as a person and what he's been able to say?
Yeah, it's not just been one way. So like when Jordan left the Ingle Gym back in 2018, I think it was, he left him on the Commonwealth title, and then I was getting promises and things were falling through. Then he actually said, look, come and sign with Eve. And it was proof to me that he went away and won the Commonwealth title straight away. Then the same thing happened the opposite way around. So then he made me move and I signed with Dave. Then I went and won the Commonwealth and then went on a brilliant 2019 before obviously I came to this gym. But the same things happened here. Like I've moved here and things happened with him and I said, look, come to this gym. So the kind of same thing happened the opposite way around. We've helped each other. And not just that side of things, we've helped each other progress in different ways. And when one of us aren't getting fights, and just look, just stick at it, you'll get this, you get that, it'll come. And we've done that Eve rival for both our careers and helped us get to the level we got to.
That was a massive win for him, wasn't it? Last December against Michael Conlon, a fight that not a lot of people gave him a chance in. I think it's fair to say Jordan would admit that as well. Mentally, physically, what sort of shape is he in heading into this fight with Zelfa Barrett on the back of that special night in Belfast?
The best he's ever been. He's obviously treating this fight as a hard fight, as you have to, expectation, and it's always good to expect a better version, a harder fight every time you step into the ring, and that's what will make him on point and, make him be at his best. But you can see the shape of him, you can literally see mentally where he's at, best version of Jordan Gill, probably better than the last fight. Obviously every time you win, your stock grows, your confidence grows, you believe in the things you're getting told. So it's all right coming to the gym and everything's new. And it's like, I'm just going to trust it and just do it. But when you've got the proof that it's worked, you're in a lot better place going into the second fight.
If he's at his best on April 13th, how do you see him beating Zelfa Barrett?
Zelfa's a great fighter, and it's a hard fight. But I believe with the knowledge he's got and their approach, I believe Jordan Gill wins by stoppage.
I remember speaking to Jordan and, his style's changed a lot. And in that Condon fight, I think what was so impressive is he transformed into this really confident, come forward pressure fighter who could punch as well. It was almost like a completely new Jordan Gill. You've seen the resurgence of Anthony Joshua. Everyone keeps saying now, oh, the old AJ's back. I feel sorry for AJ, he's been hearing that for so long. Where is the old AJ? But do you feel now, because you're a product of this environment as well, that the Ben Davison Development Performance Centre is finally starting to get the credit?
Absolutely, and I've said it many, many times, when people start realising the gym's going to be flooded, and then since that conversation, since that statement I made, the amount of fighters we've got and high profile fighters, obviously there's a lot of things people don't know, like the work with like Devin Haney and other fighters abroad, they do a lot of work for them, for Sky Reports and approach to fights. Now AJ's in the gym, and I said, hopefully it's the tail end of my career when I'm getting out, when the people start to come, but they've already started to come, they've already started to realise. So I need to make sure I get my fights in and get on, because time is an essence down here, and Ben and the lads have only got so much, there's only so much to give to a certain fighter. So People are starting to realise. And like I said many times, they are the best, in my opinion, in the world of what they do.
I do have to ask you, Lee, because you just said there, you know, you're at the tail end of your career, maybe on paper, but in terms of accolade, in terms of awards, Fighter of the Year with the British Boxing Border Control Awards as well. You've just scooped two Matchroom Awards, Fan Awards as well for Fight of the Year with Josh Warrington and Fighter of the Year. What do these accolades mean to you truly, and how big is your trophy cabinet?
To win Fighter of the Year, it was sweet because I've obviously won Fight of the Year. And as I said, when I picked up my award, it's good to win Fight of the Year once, but you don't want to win Fight of the Year every single year because it means you've been in a punch-up. I don't want to be like, oh yeah, Fight of the Year, and end up all bashed up and qualified at times, you know? But to actually win Fighter of the Year means you're doing something right, and it's probably the best award I won to date.
Yeah? Did you say that?
Yeah.
I've got to ask you about what's happening.
Well, there's one more award go on. Best Hair of the Year award.
Where'd you get that from?
That was just a private one.
Oh, a private one? Between the gym?
Yeah.
You beat Ben Davidson?
No, I'm joking.
Normally, Lee, after you have a big fight, a high-profile fight, the thing I love about the sport of boxing is there tends to always be this bond of respect that is formed, because ultimately you are the only two people, and it won Fight of the Year, like you say, for the Matchroom Awards, you're the only two people who've shared that moment with the referee, right? You are the only guys who have been in the ring. Why has that not been the case with Josh Warrington?
I think it's been the opposite way around. I thought we were both respectful before the fight. Obviously at the time he was a two-time world champion, I was a two-time world champion. The respect was there. Even when I said that I was going to beat him, I did say it respectfully, and even though I said how I was going to beat him pretty much head to head, the respect was still there. There's a bit of a tongue-in-cheek between us both, but there was a lot of respect. Since the fight, I've lost respect for him. He's lost respect for me. And it's because of the things he said. In my opinion, it's because of the things he said. For example, the lucky punch thing, and the ref should have this, the ref shouldn't have done that, ref should have done this, all these excuses. He should have said, look, the better man won on the night. I did well, let's do it again. Would have been fine. But to try to take it away from me, say it was a lucky punch, or the ref interfered, broke this up, then this is why that happened. I was fine, I should have continued. It's all bullshit. And just how he's gone on and the things he's said. And to knock someone out and then to try and do a post about me, I just think the audacity, you know what I mean? And that's why it's been back and forth now, because I genuinely don't like him.
That was going to be my next question. Yeah. Is it genuine dislike?
Yeah, I genuinely don't like him. The things he's said, the way he's gone on. There's no one at the minute that I want to punch one in him, to be honest.
What do you think hurts Josh Warrington about everything that unfolded with you?
There's loads of things. Being the first Brit to beat him, I think, kills him. Not only beat him, but stop him. I think that just absolutely kills him. His stablemate, Rhys Mould, lasting longer than him. I think that kills him as well, because he got to round 9. So that must hurt him. But I think it's just another British fighter beating him. I don't think he'll let it go. If you look at, like, watch the rematch as well, I said this to a lot of people, like, when I got dropped by Conlon in round 1, Michael Conlon, and it was on the bell. Very similar situation to myself and Warrington. I got dropped on the bell. The first thing I did, if you watch the video back, I looked at the ref and I hold my hands up. Look, I'm all right to continue. Even though my legs might have been going, I'm all right to continue, to show him, look. And kind of got my senses about me. Even my legs was I was a bit a bit off my balance on that. But I looked at him dead in the eyes, I'm okay to continue. He knew I had a minute, gave him the benefit of the doubt. With Josh, bang, got dropped on the bell. Bell went, walked off to his corner. Ref's trying to look at him, see if he was all right. He might have been all right, but he didn't convince the ref that he was all right. He was too busy in the corner looking at the crowd in and where he was. You know? Do you know what I mean? So, like, that. How can a ref give you the benefit of the doubt to continue when you're not even showing him you're all right or you've got your senses about you?
The first fight was big. Do you think the second fight's bigger? Without the world title, given what's happened?
Yeah, I think now there's a genuine needle and I genuinely want to hurt him. Just because talk so much shit. Like, I don't know how he has the audacity to talk so much shit when he got beat, but yeah, I just genuinely don't like him. And I think the build-up would be interesting, because last time I kept my mouth shut, even though when he was saying certain things, I thought I could say something here. I could say something here, but I'm not going to because we're fighting soon. I'm going to give him some respect. But this time, you know, it's going to be both barrels. I'm not going to keep my mouth shut at all.
Are you enjoying the tweets, the back and forth?
Yeah, because when I'm tweeting these things, people will say something and I'm giggling as I'm typing it. I find it funny because, like I said, I was reserved the first time because he was being fairly respectful and I was being fairly respectful, and it didn't really. I wanted to prove to people that you don't need genuine needle to build a big fight. But this time I feel like I've done it that way. I genuinely don't like. I can't help how I feel. So this time I'm just gonna give it him. Like on Twitter last night, it's like some of the things he says. Again, the lucky punch thing, and other people always have his back because he's got his little followers that like to help him out a little bit. But I was just treating everyone back with a smile on my face. I was actually enjoying it. So
he said, I think one of the tweets saw you were getting your wig punched off, I think, for 5 rounds. Do you truly believe the fight ends earlier if you get the opportunity to fight him again?
Yeah, without a doubt, yeah. I even said to him, if you make it past 4 rounds, you know, I'll pay for your teeth to be done. That's how confident I am. And it's a win-win, really, because if I don't stop inside 4 rounds, then everyone gets a favour, gets not to have to look at his teeth anymore. So, yeah, there's a few things that were said on Twitter last night, one of them being he punched me around for 6 or 7 rounds more. He didn't really, if you watch it back, but I'd rather it be that way than finish the way he did on my back. Another thing as well, not many people know this, this is something that really irritates me a little bit as well. When we had our face-off in Nottingham Forest Football Club, we had a face-off before Laura won. Shouldn't have really happened before Laura won, but because Leeds are playing Forest, he went down to, and they got him over. We had a little face-off and that. And,
that might have been my fault. I think I instigated all that.
Yeah, but by the by, it didn't really matter. It's done. But anyway, when he was walking back to the away fans, my friend who works for Forest was escorting him. And Josh said, yeah, shit fans, shit club. He was giving him shit. So my mate was like, what? So wait a minute. He went, look at that up there. And Josh looked up and went, see that? He went, yeah. He went, that's what you're going to see when he knocks you out. He's looking at the sky. Anyway, Josh
wow.
Josh went okay. Back and reported him to the club, reported him to Leeds, reported by me. He got torn off a little bit. It's like he started it. But anyway, fast forward to Sheffield, I knocked him down and he went flat on his back. And I got a photo of him looking straight up at the sky. I just think that would have been absolutely picturesque if it was at the club. So I do feel that I was robbed of that moment to go back to my mate and say, look, you was right. But yeah, things don't always work out how you want them to be, but it would have been good.
At the City Ground, obviously been the massive talking point, seemingly not going to be able to happen this year. Is that sore or are you happy to move on and do you want the fight in Nottingham? What's the second best?
Yeah, I was upset about it because obviously I feel like that's been my driving force for my last 3 or 4 fights and getting me through them fights and maybe more than 4 or 5 fights. But as of recent times when it's been like, won the Zoukham fight and then won the Conlon fight, it's like, gotta be next. And then there's the Laura fights and then the Laura rematch could have been this. Like, so many like, maybe nearly. And then I thought, I'd it nailed down, beat Warrington and I'm there. So my focus was, no matter what, get the job done. And then, after the fight, I was waiting around and got a bad feeling and it felt like I had it just pulled from underneath me a little bit. Very upsetting. But at the same time, you know, I may still be fighting next year. I may not. So I'd like to get it in a contract. Obviously, I'm a free agent at the minute, but I'd like to see a match room. But obviously, we need to talk and we need to come to some arrangement. That's no matter who I fight, even if it's Josh or it's someone else. But what I'd like to do is set up a plan where we book it for next year in May. We've got a new commercial director at the club. He's very keen to do it. He's had the experience because he used to work at Leeds when Josh had his fight there. So he knows what he's doing. So I'd like to get it penciled in, but we need to get a plan together for that. And I might have one more and be like, you know what? I don't want to risk my health, you know. I'll base it off my performance and how I feel. Take it fight by fight, but ideally my end goal is still to get that fight in at the City Ground.
Yeah, well, I spoke to Josh this past weekend. He was doing 5 live commentary at the Dalton Smith fight, and I said, would you go to Nottingham? And he said, yes, 100%.
Yeah, obviously, because of the time of the Football League and that.
But the arena, even?
Our club's got a lot going off, yeah. I think the Nottingham Arena for this fight is where I would want it. I'd limit his tickets because I won the first fight. I feel like I owe it to my fan base, my local fan base of Nottingham, and to give them a good night. And I'd prefer that than go anywhere in the world and get paid whatever money. My number one choice, as you could say, is to fight in my own city. And at the minute, there's no other better person I'd like to fight and shut up than Josh Warrington. So we'll see what happens.
I get the feeling Josh believes that you need him as much as he needs you. This is the fight for you as well, the natural fight to make. Who else is there? What other options would excite you?
I think I've got a lot of options, but for me, like I said, my number one choice would be Josh at the minute, just to shut him up. Genuinely, like, I don't need any motivation to train. I could, like, I'm already training full time as it is, with that in my mind. But yeah, look, there's a lot of world champions. Some of them are tied up, some of them aren't. I probably get less money, but a world title opportunity is always going to motivate me as well to be a two-weight world champion. I'd definitely not say no to that. But like I keep saying, the Josh fight makes the most sense. It'd be an exciting build-up. Genuine needle there, more than needle. I just don't like him at all. And it's going to sell out in the arena. And to be in my own city, like I said, if it is my last fight, I don't want to go somewhere else and not have my fans here. And then that someone says, oh, that's your last fight. It's like, oh, I'd really like to walk out in front of my own people again. And I can't. So every fight has to be like, well, this might be my last one. So make sure it's a big one in my own city, just in case. That's how I feel.
Do you have a final message, Lee? Maybe to Josh, maybe to Eddie Hearn, to anyone, what we need to do to make this happen?
I think the rematch is bigger than the first time. I think the build up would be comical. We'll have to meet up with Eddie and Frank and see what they say. But message to Josh is just stop doing videos and get training, because you know I'm gonna ice you again, without a doubt.
So. They would. Can't wait for what's next.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
Thanks for your time.
See you.